Welcome to The Deep Dive, where we tackle complex topics, sift through the noise, and distill them into genuinely essential insights. Today, we're taking on a fascinating challenge. How do you truly become well-informed on something as intricate and dynamic as infrastructure investment, especially when it involves multinational operators, without feeling completely overwhelmed by, a deluge of financial reports, market data, and industry jargon? Our mission for this deep dive is to extract the most important nuggets from a comprehensive investment analysis report focused on Grupo Aeroportuario del Sureste, or ASR. This isn't just about stocks and ticker symbols, It's about pulling back the curtain on the intricate world of airport operations, understanding the shifting tides of global tourism, and even seeing how subtle geopolitical shifts can create significant ripples through a company's balance sheet.
No, that's right. When we look at ASR, what we're really examining is a multinational airport operator that the report characterizes as standing at a strategic inflection point. They manage a truly substantial portfolio of airports spanning Mexico, Puerto Rico, and Colombia. For any discerning investor, or frankly just someone keen to understand global infrastructure, the core dilemma here is quite compelling. How do you balance ASR's world-class profitability and its demonstrably strong international growth against some very real and indeed new challenges emerging in its historically dominant Mexican market? This deep dive will highlight ASR's unique financial strength, particularly its industry-leading EBITDA margins that consistently sit near an astonishing 70%, and an almost unheard-of current negative net debt position. I mean, it certainly sets the stage for exploring what is a truly compelling yet undeniably complex operational and investment case.
Okay, let's truly unpack this. ASR's journey from its origins to its current stature is quite remarkable, isn't it? It began its life as a regionally focused airport concessionaire primarily operating within Mexico, and it has since profoundly transformed itself into this diversified, multinational infrastructure powerhouse. At the heart of their entire business model are these long-term concessions, which are essentially government-granted rights that empower them to operate, maintain, and develop airports for periods stretching decades into the future. It's a fascinating blend of underlying stability given the nature of these long-term agreements, coupled with a very deliberate strategy of geographic expansion. Now, when we talk about their operational footprint, we're really looking at what the report terms a tricontinental network. This isn't just a fancy phrase, it speaks to a very intentional diversification strategy. Let's start with Mexico, which is where ASR's foundation was laid and where its roots run deepest. They operate 9 airports, strategically located across the southeastern region of the country. These were initially granted as 50-year concessions way back in 1998. And crucially, there's even the possibility of extending these for an additional 50 years, which provides an almost unprecedented century-long horizon for their core operations, offering incredible long-term visibility.
100 years, that's quite a time frame.
Exactly. But within Mexico, there's an undisputed cornerstone, the jewel in their crown, Cancun International Airport, or CUN. This single airport isn't just a major asset, it's an economic engine, accounting for approximately 59% of ASR's total revenue. 59%. Its performance, its very heartbeat, is intrinsically linked to the health and vibrancy of the tourism industry in Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula, affectionately known as the Mayan Riviera. Cancun is a global magnet for leisure travelers, a gateway to white sands, turquoise waters, and ancient Mayan ruins. Its continued success is, well, paramount for ASR.
Absolutely. 59% really highlights the concentration risk we'll probably touch on later.
Definitely. However, it's not just Cancun carrying the weight. Their Mexican portfolio includes other key airports, each playing a distinct strategic role. You have Cozumel, a significant hub for cruise ship passengers, and dive tourism, drawing a specific niche of travelers. Then there's Mérida, serving as more of a regional business and cultural tourism hub for the Yucatan capital. Oaxaca is another culturally rich and historical destination, famous for its gastronomy and indigenous heritage. Moving north, Veracruz is a regional business and port city, crucial for trade and local commerce. Villahermosa is strongly linked to Mexico's vital oil and gas industry, while Tapachula serves as a southern border and agricultural hub. And Minatitlan supports industrial and petrochemical areas. Each of these smaller airports provides a layer of diversification even within the Mexican portfolio, catering to different passenger segments and economic activities.
Right, so it's not all just Cancun, even if that's the biggest piece of the pie.
Correct. Now, moving beyond Mexico, ASR's first major international expansion occurred in Puerto Rico. In 2013, they made a significant move by acquiring a 60% controlling stake in Aerostar Airport Holdings, which manages the Luis Muñoz Marín International Airport, or SJU, in San Juan. This wasn't just an expansion. It was a really astute strategic maneuver. SGU is not just Puerto Rico's main gateway. It serves as a critical hub for air traffic across the entire Caribbean. But perhaps even more importantly, from a financial perspective, this acquisition gave ASR a crucial foothold in a U.S. dollar-denominated market. This provides a different set of economic and tourism dynamics, acting as a natural hedge against potential volatility in the Mexican peso, and offering direct access to the robust U.S. travel market.
Smart move. Diversification and a currency hedge. All in one.
Exactly. And finally, their reach extends into Colombia, solidifying their South American presence. In 2017, ASR made another bold move, acquiring nearly 100% of Airplan. This comprehensive portfolio includes six airports, prominently featuring the José María Córdova International Airport, NTE, which serves Medellín, Colombia's dynamic second largest city. The other airports under Airplan's management include Olaya Herrera, also in Medellín, catering to domestic and regional flights, along with Montería, Quibdó, Apartadó, and Corozal, which are important regional hubs. This expansion was a deliberate, calculated strategy to tap into Colombia's rapidly growing tourism and business travel markets, which have been experiencing impressive growth for years.
Indeed. What becomes profoundly clear is that this international expansion wasn't just about growth for growth's sake. The strategic rationale for this impressive diversification is proving itself to be incredibly prescient and, in fact, critical for ASR's current performance. It was a very deliberate move to mitigate what we call country-specific risks, especially given how heavily weighted their initial operations were in Mexico. And it has proven incredibly insightful. As Mexican traffic growth has shown some signs of slowing or even flattening in recent periods, their international segments in Puerto Rico and Colombia have actually shown incredibly robust, often double-digit growth. This provides a crucial counterbalance to ASR's consolidated performance, essentially acting as a vital second and third engine to their overall growth profile when their primary engine faces headwinds. This foresight significantly enhances the resilience of their overall business.
So that diversification is really paying off now, you're saying?
Absolutely. It's cushioning the blow from the slowdown in Mexico. To truly understand how ASR generates its impressive revenue and maintains its world-class profitability, we need to examine what the report refers to as their dual engine model. This structure isn't just a fancy accounting term. It really highlights their underlying stability and their substantial potential for sustained growth.
Okay, two engines. What are they?
First, you have the regulated aeronautical revenues. These are, as the name suggests, derived directly from the essential use of airport infrastructure by airlines and, by extension, their passengers. What's critical here is that these revenues are government regulated, providing a predictable, often inflation-indexed revenue stream. The largest single component of this, and something you're likely familiar with if you've flown in Mexico, is the passenger departure fee, known as the TUA Tarifa de Uso de Aeropuerto. This fee is typically collected by airlines as a part of your ticket price and then remitted to ASR. The TUA alone accounts for a substantial 35% of the company's total revenue, forming a very stable, predictable base of income. Other fees in this category include charges for aircraft landing and parking, the use of passenger boarding bridges for boarding and deplaning, and various airport security services. These are the utility-like foundational revenues of the business.
Got it. Stable, regulated, predictable. The foundation.
Exactly. Then there's the second engine, the unregulated, non-aeronautical, or commercial revenues. This is where ASR really finds a significant growth engine because, crucially, these revenues are not subject to government price caps. This provides immense flexibility and upside. They primarily come from leasing commercial space within the airport terminals. Think about all the vibrant activity you see in a busy airport. Duty-free shops, various retail outlets selling everything from souvenirs to high fashion, a wide array of restaurants and bars, and essential services like car rental agencies and financial service providers. ASR also collects access fees from third parties that provide complimentary services at the airport, such as ground handling for luggage, catering for airlines, and even baggage handling services. The company has been remarkably successful in growing this segment. The report points out that commercial revenue per passenger increased by a very strong 17.5% year-over-year in the first quarter of 2025, reaching SOM 146.8. This segment provides the high-margin, flexible growth potential that allows ASR to outperform many other infrastructure assets.
That's fascinating. So the regulated side provides that stable, predictable base, but it's the unregulated commercial side that really drives the growth and profitability. It sounds like a powerful combination.
Absolutely. What this unique dual-engine model truly offers ASR is not just stability, but unparalleled strategic agility. Unlike many infrastructure plays tied to rigid regulated returns, ASR can aggressively reinvest the high-margin commercial revenues back into expansion projects like Cancun. They can do this knowing their regulated base provides a robust safety net covering core operational costs. This allows them to take bolder, longer-term bets on improving the passenger experience and expanding commercial offerings, bets that less diversified airport operators simply couldn't afford to take. It effectively transforms what could be a static utility business into an opportunistic growth machine.
So they can use the profits from selling duty-free booze to build new terminals,
right?
Essentially?
Basically, yes. That's simplifying it. But the high margins on the commercial side give them firepower for those big capital projects. And finally, to truly grasp the operational context, let's touch on the regulatory framework and concession structure in Mexico. This is absolutely central to how ASR operates and generates revenue. As we mentioned, the company was granted these foundational 50-year concessions for its Mexican airports back in 1998, with the pivotal possibility of extending them for another 50 years. The primary regulatory body overseeing these concessions is Mexico's Ministry of Infrastructure, Communications, and Transportation, known as the SCT. A central, almost foundational feature of this system is the Master Development Plan, or MDP. Every 5 years, ASR must submit a comprehensive, forward-looking 15-year plan to the SCT for approval. This plan isn't just a roadmap, it's a binding contract. It includes specific, non-negotiable capital investment commitments that ASR must make over the next 5-year period. And here's the critical link. This plan also sets the maximum tariff that ASR can charge for its regulated aeronautical services. So, in essence, their revenue potential from the regulated side is directly linked to the capital investments they commit to make. Creating a predictable, albeit somewhat rigid, operating environment where future revenue is tied to promised infrastructure improvements.
Okay, so they have to promise to spend money to be allowed to charge certain fees. That makes sense. Here's where it gets really interesting, because that regulatory framework creates a very specific competitive environment. The Mexican airport industry operates within what the report accurately describes as a stable oligopoly. This isn't a free-for-all. It means there are only a handful of dominant players, and there are incredibly high barriers to entry. Why? Primarily due to these exclusive, long-term government concessions we just discussed. These effectively give the incumbent operators a powerful, durable competitive moat, shielding them from new private sector entrants. The main competition tends to come either from government-sponsored infrastructure projects, which we'll discuss in a moment, or more broadly, from other tourist destinations globally vying for the same traveler dollars.
Right. It's hard for a new company to just decide to build an airport next door. The government won't let them.
Exactly. To truly understand ASR's position, we need to look at the three pillars of this oligopoly as outlined in the report. First, you have ASR itself, which, as we've discussed, dominates the southeastern region of Mexico. Their strategic focus is heavily on international leisure travel, fundamentally anchored by the Cancun airport. They are the go-to for sun and sand. Then there's Grupo Aeroportuario del Pacífico, or GAP. They're actually the largest by passenger volume in Mexico, handling a staggering 30.9 million passengers in the first half of 2024. GAP operates 12 airports, strategically spread across Mexico's Pacific and Central regions. This includes major tourist magnets like Los Cabos and Puerto Vallarta, but also the bustling, significant business hub of Guadalajara. So their traffic profile tends to be a more balanced mix of leisure and business travelers. And finally, Grupo Aeroportuario del Centro Norte, or OMA. OMA manages 13 airports located predominantly in Mexico's northern industrial heartland. Their flagship airport is Monterrey, which serves as a key hub for business travel, manufacturing, and crucial air cargo traffic. This means OM's performance is generally more exposed to industrial and trade-related economic trends, offering a different flavor of airport operation compared to ASR's leisure focus.
So you've got ASR for tourism in the southeast, GAP mixing tourism and business in the west center, and OMA focused on industry up north.
Pretty much. That's a good summary.
What becomes immediately clear when you compare these three is ASR's consistent and truly superior profitability. The report highlights that in the first quarter of 2025, ASR generated the highest net income among the three, coming in at pays $3.64 billion. This is particularly noteworthy because GAP, for instance, actually had higher total revenues at pay, $11.05 billion, compared to ASR's TAM, $8.79 billion. This disparity powerfully showcases ASR's strong margin profile and operational efficiency. Their ability to convert revenue into profit is simply best in class within Mexico.
So more profitable even with less total revenue. That says a lot about their efficiency.
It really does.
Yeah.
And on the balance sheet front, ASR stands out even more dramatically with its negative net debt position. This isn't just a minor detail. It means there's substantial cash. Think about that for a moment. For a company in a capital-intensive industry like airport operations, this is a rare and exceptionally enviable position. This contrasts sharply with, say, GAP, which operates with a higher, albeit manageable, level of debt. ASR's financial strength here is a fundamental competitive advantage, offering incredible flexibility for future investments or shareholder return.
Negative net debt. Wow. So they basically have more cash than they owe. That's impressive. Let's connect this to the bigger picture. While the long-term outlook for the Mexican aviation sector is incredibly robust, supported by some powerful secular trends, it is currently facing some very significant near-term headwinds that we need to address head-on.
Absolutely. Looking at the long-term growth drivers, Mexico's enduring appeal as a global tourist destination is paramount. It's a perennial favorite, a magnet for international travelers. The post-pandemic rebound has been nothing short of spectacular. International arrivals in the first 5 months of 2025 surged a remarkable 14.2% year-over-year, hitting an impressive 39.4 million visitors. And what's even more crucial for ASR and the economy is that tourism revenue during this period was a staggering 44.4% higher than in the same pre-pandemic period of 2019. This isn't just a recovery. It indicates that visitors aren't just returning in larger numbers. They're also spending significantly more per visit. The United States and Canada continue to be the dominant source markets, providing a very stable and affluent base of demand for ASR's core Cancun operation.
So more people are coming and they're spending more money. That sounds like a recipe for success.
It definitely helps. Another significant driver, often discussed in broader economic contexts, is nearshoring and USMCA. The trend of companies relocating manufacturing and supply chains from Asia to North America, particularly Mexico, is creating a powerful tailwind. The strategic shift is driving increased demand for business travel, for executives visiting factories, and for air cargo as components and finished goods move across borders. While this particularly benefits airports and industrial regions like those operated by OMA and GAP, it's generally a positive force for the entire Mexican aviation sector, including ASR, as overall economic activity and business connectivity increase. And for clarity, USMCA stands for the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, the successor to NAFTA.
Right, the new NAFTA. So more business travel generally helps everyone.
Pretty much. And we also have favorable demographics. A growing, increasingly affluent middle class within Mexico is steadily expanding the domestic air travel market. The rise of low-cost carriers has made flying significantly more accessible to a wider segment of the population. Given Mexico's vast geography, air travel is often a far more practical and efficient option than ground transport for many, making it an essential service rather than just a luxury. This demographic trend provides a deep underlying demand pool for all Mexican airport operators.
Okay, those long-term drivers, tourism, nearshoring, demographic, they sound incredibly promising,
yeah.
Painting a picture of consistent growth. But you mentioned significant headwinds. Can you elaborate on those? Because understanding the risks is just as crucial as understanding the opportunities.
You're right to highlight the headwinds. And here, regulatory uncertainty is absolutely crucial and, frankly, the most significant and unpredictable risk factor on the horizon. The historically stable and predictable regulatory framework that has long been a cornerstone of the investment thesis for Mexican airports is now facing a significant, arguably unprecedented test. The current Mexican administration has demonstrated a more interventionist approach to economic policy, favoring state-run enterprises and national interests.
Interventionist? That sounds like it could cause problems for private companies like ASR.
Exactly. We've seen this play out vividly in the ongoing dispute between the Mexican government and the U.S. Department of Transportation, or DOT, regarding the 2015 U.S.-Mexico Air Transport Agreement. The core of this dispute centers on Mexico's unilateral actions at the Mexico City Airport, and it's important to note, this isn't an airport operated by the private groups like ASR, GAP, or OMA. These actions included abruptly rescinding landing slots for airlines and forcing the relocation of cargo operations from the primary international airport to a newly opened military-run facility. The U.S. DOT has deemed these actions blatantly anti-competitive and in retaliation has proposed the withdrawal of antitrust immunity for the critically important Delta Air Mexico joint venture.
Okay, so trouble at Mexico City Airport. But how does that affect ASR down in Cancun or GAP out west?
Well, while this specific dispute doesn't directly involve ASR, GAP, or OMA's airports yet, it sets a very concerning precedent. It signals a palpable shift toward a more interventionist government approach across infrastructure sectors. This raises what the report calls tail risk, meaning a low probability, high impact event. This is the risk that authorities could similarly seek to alter the terms of the private airport concessions, such as the crucial five-year tariff setting process that determines ASR's maximum regulated revenue. Imagine if the government decided to unilaterally reduce the maximum tariffs or impose new, unfavorable capital expenditure requirements without corresponding revenue adjustments. Such actions would directly impact ASR's profitability and cash flow. Investors must now factor in a higher political risk premium to account for this elevated regulatory uncertainty, adding a layer of complexity to their valuation models.
So the worry is, if they did it in Mexico City, could they do it to ASR's concessions next? That's a big what if.
It is. It's a tail risk, maybe unlikely, but the possibility is now on the table in a way it wasn't before. Finally, we also have to consider airline industry pressures. Airport operators are intrinsically linked to the health and operational capacity of their airline customers. Global supply chain issues affecting new aircraft deliveries, or, for instance, recent engine maintenance mandates that grounded significant portions of aircraft fleets for Mexican carriers like Volaris and Viva Aerobus, can directly constrain capacity and limit passenger growth. If airlines can't fly as many planes or as many routes, airport traffic naturally suffers. Moreover, a significant economic slowdown in key source markets like the U.S. could pressure airline profitability, potentially leading to route cuts or frequency reductions, which would then directly impact airport traffic and revenue for ASR.
Right. If the airlines aren't flying, the airports are empty. Makes sense. So what does this all mean for ASR's financial performance when we put these long-term tailwinds against these quite potent near-term headwinds? Let's analyze their numbers. Looking at their historical financial performance, the report clearly illustrates a remarkably strong growth trajectory, one that was only truly interrupted by the global 2020 pandemic. Their total revenues, which stood at $16.8 billion in 2019, impressively recovered and grew to seize $19.0 billion by 2023. And their net income followed a similar, even more impressive path, surpassing its pre-pandemic level of fees. $5.7 billion in 2019 to reach a substantial seize, $10.7 billion in 2023. These aren't just recovering. They're showing significant expansion.
Yeah, they bounced back strong from COVID, stronger than before, actually.
Yeah,
exactly. This strong momentum has actually carried directly into the current fiscal year. For the first quarter of 2025, ASR reported a very robust 18.2% year-over-year increase in revenue, hitting CO's $8.8 billion. Their EBITDA, which is a key measure of operational profitability, grew by a healthy 11.7% to seize $5.7 billion. And crucially, net income rose 14.2% to see $3.6 billion. These quarterly numbers clearly underscore the company's continued ability to expand its top line and, more importantly, translate that into impressive bottom line growth, signaling robust operational health despite the external pressures.
Solid numbers, definitely showing resilience.
Now, let's talk about some key operational and financial metrics, and specifically passenger traffic divergence. This, I would argue, is the most critical operational trend we need to watch for ASR because it tells a story of strategic foresight paying off. While their consolidated traffic for 2023 grew a healthy 10.0% to 43.5 million passengers across their entire network, this overall figure actually masks some significant underlying weakness in its core Mexican market. The report points out that throughout late 2024 and extending into the first half of 2025, ASR's monthly traffic reports has consistently shown flat to, at times, even negative growth in Mexico. For example, in April 2025, passenger traffic in Mexico grew by a mere 0.5%, essentially stagnant, and by June 2025, it actually declined by 2.8%.
Oof, negative 2.8% Mexico. That's not great.
No, it's not. But here's the crucial counterpoint, and this is where ASR's diversification really shines. During those very same periods, their Puerto Rican and Colombian operations posted incredibly robust, often double-digit, increases. In April 2025, Puerto Rico saw a surge of 13.5% in traffic, and Colombia grew by 4.8%. This pattern continued into June 2025, with Colombia still growing by 1.7%, even as Mexico experienced a decline. This persistent trend powerfully validates ASR's management's diversification strategy and clearly highlights the increasing importance of their international assets to the company's overall growth profile. It's no longer just a Mexican story.
Right. That diversification is literally keeping the overall growth positive. Without Puerto Rico and Colombia, those numbers would look very different. What's truly fascinating here, beyond the top-line growth, is ASR's profitability. It's truly a standout feature, differentiating them significantly from their peers and many global infrastructure companies. Their EBITDA margins are, quite simply, exceptionally high. the company consistently generates margins in the neighborhood of 70%. For instance, in the first quarter of 2025, their adjusted EBITDA margin was exactly 70.0%.
70%? That seems incredibly high for any business, let alone an airport.
It is. This level of profitability is what we would call world class. To truly put that into perspective, it stands significantly above major European operators like Aena, which reported a 58.8% EBITDA margin in 2023, and Fraport AG, which came in at a comparatively lower 30.1% for the same period. This isn't just a minor difference, it's a testament to the fundamental strength of ASR's business model. This remarkably high profitability directly reflects the unique advantages of the Mexican concession model, which effectively combines stable, inflation-indexed aeronautical revenues with high-margin, unregulated commercial income. This hybrid structure provides a substantial cushion against operational headwinds, making ASR's earnings much more resilient to traffic volume fluctuations than a typical service company might be. This financial resilience is a cornerstone of the investment case, enabling the company to fund its extensive capital expenditure program and maintain its generous dividend simultaneously.
So that dual engine model we talked about, that's the secret sauce for these huge margins.
That's a huge part of it, yes. In terms of return on equity, ROE, ASR's ability to generate returns for its shareholders is robust. Their trailing 12-month ROE was reported at 25.76%. We've seen a strong and consistent recovery post-pandemic, with ROE reaching 22.7% in 2023, a significant improvement from the pandemic-induced low of 5.9% in 2020. While this is very robust and indicative of strong management, it's worth noting that ASR does trail its domestic peers, GAP, which had an ROE of 42.2%, and OMA at 40.4%. This difference is likely attributable to ASR's more conservative capital structure, which employs less financial leverage, meaning they use less debt to finance their assets, and their larger total asset base. They're just structured a bit differently, leading to a different ROE profile, but still one that signals efficient use of shareholder capital.
Okay, so good ROE, but maybe not as high as others because they use less debt. Makes sense. So if they're so profitable, how are they leveraging that financial strength for future growth? Let's unpack ASR's growth story and where it's headed from here. Their historical growth drivers clearly show a significant strategic pivot. The 2013 acquisition of controlling interest in the concession for San Juan's airport in Puerto Rico, and then the 2017 acquisition of the Airplan airport portfolio in Colombia, were genuinely transformative events for the company. These moves were not just opportunistic, they represented a clear strategic pivot to diversify revenue streams, reduce their heavy reliance on the Mexican tourism market, and tap into new, high-growth regions in Latin America. And as we've already highlighted with a recent traffic divergence, that foresight is now paying significant dividends, with the strong performance of the Puerto Rican and Colombian segments providing a crucial offset to the recent softness in the Mexican market.
Yeah, those acquisitions look pretty smart in hindsight, given what's happening now.
They certainly do. Now, looking forward, ASR is embarking on what the report calls its current capital expenditure program, outlined under the Master Development Plan for 2024-2028. This is described as their most ambitious investment cycle to date, truly a monumental undertaking. The plan, which has been meticulously reviewed and approved by Mexican authorities, commits the company to total capital expenditures of size $29.6 billion, expressed in constant December 31st, 2023 pesos across its Mexican airports. That's a massive commitment.
29.6 billion pesos, that's a lot of spending.
It is. And the most striking feature of this huge program is its concentration. An overwhelming piong, $22.3 billion, which is approximately 75% of the entire budget, is allocated to just one single asset, Cancun International Airport. This enormous investment is aimed at significantly expanding and modernizing the airport's terminal buildings, commercial platforms, and access roads. This represents a really high-stakes bet on the long-term growth and continued dominance of Cancun as the premier gateway to the Mayan Riviera. Other significant investments are also planned for airports in Merida with PS 2.0 billion and in Oaxaca with PS 2.2 billion to enhance their capacity and commercial offerings. But Cancun is the main play. It's crucial to connect this massive investment in Cancun to the fact that it's facing its first direct competitive threat from the newly inaugurated Tulum International Airport, which sits just south. This makes the success of the Cancun expansion even more critical than it would have been otherwise, as ASR is essentially doubling down on its flagship against new competition.
Right, so they're spending big on Cancun just as a new competitor opens up nearby. That timing is interesting. This really raises an important question. What does the future truly hold for ASR's growth, given these complex dynamics, especially with such a concentrated bet on Cancun?
Yeah, what are the odds on that bet paying off?
Well, Let's consider organic growth opportunities first. The fundamental driver of the business remains passenger volume. Future growth here will depend on a sophisticated combination of factors. A robust rebound in international tourism to Mexico, which faces its own set of challenges, the continued strong performance of the Colombian and Puerto Rican markets, and critically, the successful absorption of the new capacity that's being created by the MDP in Mexico, particularly at Cancun. Can they fill those new terminals?
Build it and hope they come, essentially.
Sort of, yeah. Beyond pure passenger volume, there's also significant runway to continue increasing commercial revenues per passenger. This is a key focus for management because these revenues are unregulated, meaning ASR controls the pricing, and they carry incredibly high margins, as we discussed. Growth here can be achieved by strategically optimizing the retail and dining mix in their expanded terminal spaces, introducing new and premium services like lounges or expedited security, and leveraging technology to enhance the overall passenger experience and encourage spending. The strong 17.5% year-over-year growth in commercial revenue per passenger in the first quarter of 2025 is a very clear indicator of this ongoing potential and a strategic area where ASR can flex its muscles.
Okay, so even if passenger numbers wobble, they can try to make more money from each passenger who does show up.
Exactly. Now let's look at the bull versus bear case for growth. These are the two primary, often conflicting narratives shaping the outlook for ASR. And for any investor, it comes down to which one resonates more powerfully given the evidence.
All right, lay them out for us. Bull first.
Okay, the bull case argues that the massive multi-billion peso investment in Cancun will successfully modernize the airport, significantly enhance the passenger experience through faster processing times, more retail options, and better connectivity, ultimately solidifying its position as the undisputed preferred gateway to the Mayan Riviera. In this scenario, Cancun doesn't just absorb the competitive threat from Tulum, it actively marginalizes it by offering a superior experience. Simultaneously, the Colombian and Puerto Rican operations continue their high-growth trajectory, driven by favorable tourism trends in those regions. The bull case posits that ASR successfully leverages its newly expanded capacity across the entire portfolio to drive both higher passenger volumes and increase commercial spending per passenger. This would then lead to a new cycle of sustained earnings growth and dividend increases once the current intensive investment phase concludes post-2028. It's a story of a dominant incumbent fortifying its position.
So the bull says Cancun stays king, Tulum becomes a minor player, and international growth keeps rolling. Sounds good if it happens.
Right. Conversely, the bear case suggests a much more challenging scenario. Here, the new Tulum airport proves to be a formidable and effective competitor, permanently capturing a significant share of passenger traffic that would have otherwise gone to Cancun. It's not just that Tulum exists, but that it successfully draws away a material portion of ASR's core market. Furthermore, the broader Mexican tourism market might stagnate or even decline due to persistent security concerns. Perceptions of crime, even if localized, can have a global impact on traveler choices. Or a prolonged economic slowdown in the United States, which is ASR's major source market. And growth in the more mature Colombian and Puerto Rican markets might decelerate to lower single-digit rates. In this downside scenario, ASR would be left with underutilized, newly built assets, particularly at Cancun, leading to disappointing returns on its massive capital investment, and putting significant pressure on its ability to grow future earnings and, critically, future dividends. It's a clear dichotomy with specific triggers that could make one case more dominant than the other.
Okay, so the bear case is Tulum hurts Cancun badly. Mexican tourism slows down, international growth fades, and ASR is stuck with expensive, half-empty terminals. That's less good. That sets up the stakes perfectly. Let's shift gears now to how ASR actually manages its money and the various risks it faces, because its financial strategy is as impressive as its operational footprint. First up, their dividend policy and shareholder returns. ASR has truly established itself as a significant dividend payer, making it quite attractive to income-oriented investors. They boast a consistent and indeed growing track record of increasing their distributions to shareholders. In April 2025, for instance, the annual shareholders meeting approved a substantial ordinary cash dividend of 50,000 per share, which is a strong signal of confidence and a commitment to returning capital from the board.
50 pesos a share, that's a hefty payout.
It is. And this follows a clear and compelling pattern of rising payouts. The total cash distributed as dividends grew from SAAJ $2.5 billion in 2021 to SAAM $4.5 billion in 2022, and then further to SAAM $6.0 billion in 2023. This commitment to shareholder returns has resulted in an exceptionally high dividend yield. consistently among the highest in the airport sector and the broader infrastructure space. It's frequently cited in the 7% to 8% range, and even over 8% as of Q2 2025, which is truly remarkable.
Over 8% yield? That's huge for an infrastructure stock.
Exactly. Now, this high dividend yield, and this is where it gets interesting, can actually be interpreted in two distinct ways, reflecting the bull bear debate we just had. On one hand, it clearly reflects the company's immense cash-generating capability from its highly profitable operations and a very shareholder-friendly management team that prioritizes distributions. On the other hand, a yield of this magnitude, particularly when compared to other growth stocks, could also suggest that the market is pricing in a lower future growth rate, or perhaps a higher perceived risk. The market might be valuing the company more for its current substantial cash returns, almost like a stable utility that's not expected to grow dramatically, rather than for its future growth potential. This dichotomy is absolutely central to the ongoing valuation debate for ASR.
So is it a sign of strength in cash generation, or is the market saying, we don't expect much growth, so pay us a lot now?
That's the debate, precisely. Moving on to their debt structure and financial flexibility, a cornerstone of ASR's financial strategy is its remarkably conservative balance sheet. As of the first quarter of 2025, the company reported a negative debt to LTM adjusted EBITDA ratio of net 0.5x. This isn't just a number, this is quite an impressive feat, meaning that ASR's substantial cash reserves actually exceed its total outstanding debt. Think of it like ASR not just being debt-free, but having more cash than debt, effectively sitting on a Scrooge McDuck money bin. That's a rare and enviable position for any company, especially one operating in a capital-intensive industry like airport infrastructure, which typically requires significant borrowing.
Negative leverage. Yeah, that's incredibly strong, almost unheard of.
Right. As of year-end 2023, their consolidated outstanding indebtedness was a manageable CI $12.2 billion. The debt portfolio itself is prudently managed, comprising a mix of floating rate, peso-denominated term loans in Mexico, and fixed rate, U.S. dollar-denominated senior secured notes at their Puerto Rican subsidiary, Aerostar. This structure actually helps to naturally hedge some of the currency exposure within the business, as dollar-denominated assets are partially offset by dollar-denominated liabilities. Their liquidity position is also exceptionally strong. At the end of the first quarter of 2025, ASR held a staggering cash balance of some $22.7 billion. This deep pool of liquidity is further supported by access to significant undrawn revolving credit facilities. This provides ASR with ample financial flexibility to fully fund its multi-billion peso capital expenditure program, which is quite ambitious, and maintain its generous dividend policy without needing to access potentially expensive capital markets or strain its balance sheet. They also comfortably meet their loan covenants, which typically require a leverage ratio below 3.0 to 1.00, underscoring their financial strength.
So, tons of cash, very little debt, relatively speaking, lots of borrowing power if they need it. They're financially solid. This really prompts us to ask the important question. What are the significant risks for ASR going forward, even with such a fortress balance sheet? Because risks are always present, no matter how strong the company.
Good point. Even with all that cash, things can go wrong. Yeah, what are the big ones?
Well, the report highlights regulatory and political risks as arguably the most significant and frustratingly the least predictable factor. The stable regulatory framework that has underpinned the value of Mexican airport concessions for over two decades is facing new challenges. The current Mexican administration has clearly demonstrated a more interventionist approach to economic policy, often favoring state-run enterprises and national interests over private sector autonomy. We've seen this in the ongoing dispute with the U.S. Department of Transportation over slot management and cargo operations at the Mexico City Airport. While this specific dispute doesn't directly involve ASR's privately operated airports, it sets a very concerning precedent. There is a non-zero tail risk, that low-probability, high-impact scenario that the government could seek to unilaterally amend the tariff-setting regulations, which directly impact ASR's revenue or other key terms of the existing concession agreements for the private airport groups. Such an event would, of course, have a direct and materially adverse impact on ASR's revenue and profitability, introducing a level of uncertainty that was largely absent historically.
Back to that political risk again. It really seems like the elephant in the room.
It looms large, definitely. Next, there are economic cycles and tourism dependency. ASR's financial performance is inherently highly correlated with passenger traffic volumes, which are themselves a direct reflection of economic health. Consequently, the company is exposed to macroeconomic downturns in its key source markets. A significant recession in the United States, for instance, would likely lead to a noticeable reduction in discretionary leisure travel, directly impacting traffic at Cancun and other tourist-focused airports. Similarly, a recession within Mexico would curtail domestic business and leisure travel. The business is also inherently vulnerable to external shocks that can disrupt tourism, including security concerns, perceptions of crime and violence in Mexico, even if localized or not directly in tourist areas, can significantly deter international visitors, as can travel advisories from foreign governments. Then there are natural disasters. ASR's airports in southeastern Mexico and the Caribbean are located in regions highly susceptible to hurricanes and other severe weather events, which can cause both physical damage, requiring extensive repairs, and prolonged business interruption as airports are closed and flights are canceled. And of course, public health crises, as the COVID-19 pandemic provided a stark, painful reminder of how quickly global travel can be halted by a health crisis, leading to a severe and sudden drop in passenger demand and airport revenue.
Okay, so recessions, crime perception, hurricanes, pandemics. The usual suspects for anything tourism related.
Pretty much. There's also the complex issue of currency fluctuations, specifically the Mexican peso versus the U.S. dollar. ASR has significant and nuanced exposure here. A large portion of its revenues, particularly international passenger charges in Mexico, are actually denominated in U.S. dollars but are collected and reported in Mexican pesos. This creates a complex exposure. A sharp depreciation of the peso, meaning it takes more pesos to buy a dollar, can cause ASR to technically breach its regulated maximum tariffs, which are set in pesos. This could potentially lead to regulatory penalties. Conversely, a sharp appreciation of the peso reduces the peso value of its dollar-denominated revenues, which can limit the company's ability to maximize its regulated income in local currency terms. The Mexican peso has exhibited significant volatility in recent years, strengthening considerably post-pandemic before weakening in 2024 amid political uncertainty. This volatility directly impacts ASR's reported earnings and cash flows, adding a layer of unpredictability.
So the peso moving around is a headache. Either way, too weak is bad. Too strong is also kind of bad. Tricky.
It's a balancing act. Then we have competitive and concentration risks. Despite its commendable diversification strategy, ASR remains heavily reliant on the performance of a single asset, Cancun International Airport, which, as we noted, accounts for a substantial 59% of its total revenue. The recent inauguration of the Felipe Carrillo Puerto International Airport in Tulum introduces a direct and significant competitive threat for the first time in Cancun's history. The new airport is geographically positioned to compete for the very same pool of tourists visiting the Mayan Riviera. The extent to which Tulum can capture market share from Cancun over the long term, whether it's 5% or 20% of traffic, is major uncertainty and a key risk to ASR's future growth trajectory, especially given its massive investment in Cancun.
Right, the Tulum factor again. That 59% reliance on Cancun really makes that competition sting, potentially.
It absolutely does. Finally, there's airline and partner dependency. ASR's business is fundamentally dependent on the operational and financial health of its airline partners. The bankruptcy of a major carrier serving its airports, or a significant reduction in capacity due to economic pressures or fleet issues such as recent engine inspection mandates that have grounded some aircraft for extended periods, could materially reduce passenger volumes and aeronautical revenues. Airport operators don't control the airlines, they simply provide the infrastructure, so they're always exposed to the health of their primary customers.
Got it. They need healthy airlines to fill their airports. Let's connect all of this to the big question for any discerning individual trying to understand this business. Is ASR a good value right now, particularly for investors? When we look at relative valuation metrics, the report provides a mixed but insightful picture. ASR trades at a trailing 12-month price-to-earnings, or PE ratio, in the range of 12x to 14x. This is generally considered a reasonable multiple for a stable infrastructure company, suggesting it's not wildly overvalued. The enterprise value to EBITDA, or EBITDA ratio, which is often preferred for capital-intensive businesses like airports because it accounts for debt, is approximately 8.0x. This is considered attractive in the infrastructure space, actually right in line with the global sector average of 8.49x. The price-to-book, or PB ratio, stands at approximately 3.3x.
Okay, so on some standard metrics, it looks reasonable, maybe even attractive compared to global peers on EBITDA.
Yeah, that's the initial take. Now, when we do a peer comparison analysis, particularly with their domestic counterparts, a very clear valuation discount emerges. ASR's PE ratio, sitting around 13x, is substantially lower than Grupo Aeroportuario del Pacífico, GAP, which trades at approximately 24x, and Grupo Aeroportuario del Centro Norte, OMA, at around 20x. This significant valuation gap isn't arbitrary. It likely reflects the market's heightened concerns about the slowing traffic growth in ASR's core Mexican portfolio. and those specific competitive and concentration risks we just discussed around the Cancun airport, the market is clearly baking in a discount for that perceived risk.
Ah, so cheaper than GIP and OMMA. The market sees more risk with ASR right now, likely due to Cancun and the Mexico slowdown.
That seems to be the interpretation. However, when we compare ASR to major international peers, its valuation appears more compelling, particularly given its superior operational performance. While its P-E ratio is similar to Fraport AG, around 14x, ASR's EBITDA margins are more than double Fraport's, suggesting significantly higher profitability and operational efficiency despite a similar earnings multiple. And Yina SMESA trades at an even higher multiple than both, further highlighting the relative value in ASR, especially when you consider its EBITDA relative to its profit generation capabilities.
Hmm. So compared internationally, maybe it looks cheap given how profitable it is. Interesting contrast.
It is. But perhaps the most striking feature of ASR's valuation, and arguably its primary draw for a certain type of investor, is its dividend yield. At over 8%, it is exceptionally high for an infrastructure asset and dramatically exceeds the yields offered by its domestic peers. GAP is around 2.0% and OMA is about 4.2%. This premium yield is a primary attraction for income-focused investors, providing a very strong current return and truly serves as a significant component of the total return proposition. For someone looking for steady, substantial cash flow, this is hard to ignore.
That 8% yield again, it really stands out. It's almost demanding attention. This really raises the central question we've been building towards. How do we truly interpret ASR's valuation in this comprehensive context? It really depends on which narrative, the bull case or the bear case, you find most convincing after examining all the data.
Okay, bring it home for us. How do the bulls and bears see this valuation?
For the bear case perspective, the argument is that the current valuation discount relative to its domestic peers is a fair and rational reflection of the considerable risks we've outlined. The market is justifiably discounting the stock due to the clear deceleration of traffic in Mexico, the unquantified but very real competitive threat from the new Tulum airport, and the rising regulatory risk premium that now affects all Mexican infrastructure assets. From this perspective, the high dividend yield isn't a sign of a bargain. Instead, it's seen as compensation for lower future growth prospects and could potentially become what some investors call a value trap if earnings come under significant sustained pressure. It's the market's way of saying, show me the growth or I'll demand a higher yield for the risk.
So the bears say, it's cheap for a reason, the risks are real, and that high dividend might not last if things go south.
That's the gist of the bear view. Conversely, the bull case posits that the stock is currently undervalued by the market. This view suggests that the market is excessively penalizing ASR for the short-term weakness in its Mexican operations and perhaps overestimating the Tulum threat, while failing to properly credit the strong growth and strategic importance of its international assets in Colombia and Puerto Rico. From this perspective, the current valuation provides an attractive entry point into a world-class infrastructure operator. It's a company with a fortress balance sheet, remember, that negative net debt, superior profitability, consistently high EBITDA margins, and a secure and substantial dividend stream. The bull case argues that the market is missing the forest for the trees, focusing too much on near-term Mexican headwinds and not enough on the powerful underlying fundamentals and diversification strategy.
And the bulls say, the market's overreacting to temporary problems, ignoring the international strength and solid finances, so it's a bargain with a great dividend.
Exactly. So to form a definitive conclusion on ASR, you, the listener, must ultimately resolve two critical questions for yourself. First, is the current valuation discount relative to peers, combined with that substantial, enticing dividend yield, sufficient compensation for the heightened competitive and regulatory risks currently facing the Mexican operations? And second, will the growth momentum from the international portfolio in Colombia and Puerto Rico be powerful and durable enough to truly drive consolidated earnings growth forward? Even if the core Cancun hub underperforms expectations over the next investment cycle, the answers to these two pivotal questions will ultimately determine the long-term investment merits of ASR.
And there you have it, the two critical questions that determine Grupo Aeroportuario del Sureste's long-term investment merits. We've gone deep into their complex operations, their impressive financial health, the competitive landscape they navigate, and the distinct risks and opportunities that lie ahead. We've laid out both the bull and bear narratives for you, giving you the comprehensive picture. Now it's up to you, the listener, to weigh the evidence. Consider which of these narratives resonates most with your understanding, and perhaps do a bit of your own digging after this deep dive. Because in the fascinating world of infrastructure, understanding these subtle shifts and powerful underlying forces can truly unlock profound insights,
moving you from just informed to truly well-informed. Thanks for diving deep with us.